Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron time and time again.
Good morning and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Market Rundown with Chip Nellinger. Chip, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, you're doing real well. The market's what a difference a week makes, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, it's I got my opening trade alert last night, and looked like December corn was up over $4 by a penny. So we had well, that's good news there, moving in the right direction. But the bad news is, unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff out there still need to get planted, and pre-vit plant is getting to be a bigger part of the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. The market's definitely responding and taking notice. A lot of people thinking we're going to be in the low to mid-50s this afternoon in the planting progress report. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a touch under 50, and that would mark the slowest planting pace in history. Beautiful day today here in the Eastern Corn Belt, but the problem is there was plenty of rain over the weekend. Saturday there were inch and a half rains around. There were some rains yesterday in areas. So it's definitely getting to be a real issue in here, and it looks like there's a lot of Illinois that may not get planted until after the 1st of June. So it's definitely starting to affect potential yield. I don't think there's probably anyone out there that thinks we can achieve a 176 trendline yield at this stage of the game. The forecast is still wet as we go forward out here. We've 7 in the next 8 days, at least in central Illinois. We've got chances for rain. So the market definitely is taking notice on the planting delays. And unfortunately, there's still rain in the forecast here. So corn and beans higher overnight. Like you mentioned, up over $4 on new crop December corn futures. I think the high in the overnight was somewhere around 403, 403 and a half. And, may not be high enough because right now, June 5th, in a lot of areas of the Eastern Corn Belt and South, June 5th is the pre-vent plant date. May 24th, 25th, so this week in portions of the Northern Corn Belt. So we could be staring at the very real possibility of a lot of pre-vent plant corn acres. And, just when we thought we had too much corn, Mother Nature is going to, try to fix that, it looks like, Casey.
Yep. Well, it sounds like, same thing out here where I'm at, this whole eastern Colorado, western Nebraska, north South Dakota, up in that area. Sunday morning I woke up, it was 37 degrees. And it was... we're supposed to have some cooler temperatures yet. Here we had some frost alerts out in different parts of the area that I'm at. Not necessarily where I'm at, but right, not with only a few hundred miles away from us. They had they're having some frost warnings. So, I mean, it's going to be this week is going to be a cool, wet week for us. And you take a look at most of the United States, it's going to be a wet week for sure. So, as this pre-vent plant starts creeping into the mix, and I talked to some folks up in North Dakota last week on the podcast, where the 20th, like you talked about, there's a drop-dead date on insurance to get stuff planted and get stuff growing, and they hadn't even turned a wheel yet. They haven't done anything, and it was the 14th of May. So I can imagine that since today is the 20th, right? Yeah, today's the 20th. I don't think they probably got much done during that time frame, so... How's that going to affect the marketplace? How are traders going to start looking at it? How are funds going to start reacting to that? And what's the long game here?
Yeah, that's the question, and it's a little bit of a moving target in there. So the funds are still short a huge amount. They've come out of some of their positions in corn and beans and wheat, but not nearly all of it. And now at multi-month highs. I don't know. I don't have a chart pulled up, but it's been many, many months since corn was this high. We checked 50 cents a bushel on nearly in basically a week's time frame. So from last Sunday night, Monday morning, to the highs overnight. It was almost 50 cents in corn. And so to answer your question, I think it depends on how much more it rains this week, particularly in the eastern Corn Belt. That seems to be the bullseye right now, Illinois and Indiana. I think maybe the Indiana didn't get hit quite as hard with the rain over the weekend as Illinois did, but still there was enough of it that they may need several days in a lot of areas to get dried out. So I think to answer your question, it depends on how much more rain hits this week. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's kind of feast or famine. You hit the nail on the head. Prices are rallying, but, you know, that's a difficult situation if you haven't turned the wheel yet and planted, you know, the first seed of corn or beans in the ground, and there's plenty of people out there in that situation. So very dynamic. You know, it's going to be forecast by forecast. We get one more half-inch rain, you know, say Wednesday, Thursday in a lot of areas. That's going to push people out till well after the first of June. And so if that happens, we've got higher prices to come. It's a good situation that the funds are caught short right now and likely needing to get out. Their computer models and moving averages are starting to probably trigger buy signals to them. So they're going to be in buy mode, getting out of shorts. And that's a good sign because it's likely going to push prices higher. Got a strong showing here so far in the overnight early morning session. Beans up about 10 and corn up about 6 cents. Wheat sharply higher as well. They've had a not to be forgotten about. The wheat market's put a big rally in as well, almost 60 cents off the lows, I believe. Funds are short. Big rains, particularly in Kansas, at the wrong time frame. This isn't when you really need a bunch of heavy rainfall on wheat at this stage of the production cycle for that wheat crop. So we've got some real issues out there. Likely going to see higher prices. You know, I think in that backdrop, even though people aren't planting, you know, there's still this, you know, issue of the trade war with China. It doesn't sound like that's getting any better. In fact, maybe a little bit worse with some additional posturing. We've got plenty of beans in the world, both here and South America. We've got plenty of corn supply as well. We've got big crops growing right now and being harvested in South America on corn. So, you know, we have to kind of keep that in the back of our mind as well, that going higher, yes, we're going to erase some production out of the balance sheet, and it's going to tighten the carryout up, but we've got, sorry about that, Casey, a little technical. We do have higher prices yet to come, but the producer really has to, you know, kind of sharpen the pencil here and figure out what that means. Crop insurance is kicking in. Obviously, there might be some prevent plant decisions. Beans there last week on the lows for high-level crop insurance people out there that had, you know, took the highest coverage levels. We were into a crop insurance payment. So, you know, at low prices on beans, it probably doesn't make sense to do anything. But as we go higher on corn, it really is going to be a decision point on, you know, where do we pull the trigger, even if that's some puts, because we're not going to stay higher forever allocated.
Right. Okay. So that brings up something I wanted to talk to you about. Thursday, Friday last week, the price of soybeans, I think it was Friday, which really just kind of dissolved pretty quick and it went south pretty fast. With the amount of carryout that we have right now, you look out there and you see that we've got 9 million bushels of, I'm sorry, 900 million bushels of beans right now, you know, nine times what we normally have. Is it just corn that's bringing up soybeans? Is that why there's such a follow there? Or are they starting to think about maybe some planting delays with soybeans and trying to get ahead of that?
Yeah, so a little of both. Saw some real weakness, double-digit losses on Friday in beans, and the issue there was more currency-related. The South American farmer really had kind of a little bit of a windfall. So even though prices were down here, they had a sharply higher day because their currencies moved in their favor, and so they were heavy sellers, and that pushed bean prices lower. But beans are more of a follower in here by default. If we're delayed planting on corn, we're also delayed planting on beans and starting to probably take a little bit of top end of yield off. You know, there's a fight right now or arguments that, you know, you can maybe switch corn acres to bean acres here. I'm not a big buyer of that if these prices in beans were too low It doesn't make economic sense. So, you know, I think that prevent plant corn in a lot of areas, if you push this thing out another few days, you're to that level up north. So, you know, I think that beans are more of a follower right now, but they're going to be dynamic as well. And the funds have massive shorts. And so if this rain continues for another couple of weeks, you know, there goes a big amount off the carryout as well if we don't raise trendline yields in beans or delay or take some prevent plant acres there. It's really going to be a dynamic situation as we go forward based on the weather.
Yep. Lots of stuff happened there. So let's jump over and take a look at the cattle complex right now and see happen with the hog market as well. The hog market was really really hinging on that deal with China that happened here last week when basically last Thursday when we pretty much took our ball and went home. What's happening there, and where do you see that going?
You know, we had kind of a stable week, stable but volatile. We had sharply higher, sharply lower in the hogs. But we're hearing about a $5, $6 range where we kind of found fair value. We saw some net cancellations last week from China on U.S. pork. It's likely they're going to have to take pork eventually from somewhere. So demand is increasing. The African swine fever issue is apparently getting worse in China. So I think that we still probably have some upside to go in hogs, but it may be a bumpy ride because this trade war issue, you know, they're likely not immediately going to take U.S. pork. Cattle market, I think kind of the same thing. The funds still have some length that they need to get out of. They're in liquidation mode, and that might hit the cattle market a little bit, but I think we're kind of at a fair value area. So I think both hogs and cattle, you're going to see some choppiness in here, maybe some volatile days. But in the general price levels where we're at, I think we're you know, we're pretty well valued in here. And I think that as you get the calendar turned to June, typically you see a low, seasonal low in the cattle market. So I think you're within days of making an argument that we've seen the worst of what we're going to see for the time being in the cattle market, and could maybe see some better things ahead in the month of June.
Right on. All right, Jeff. Well, plenty of stuff going on here. You know, like you said, weather is getting to be it is a factor now. I mean, it's not like it was there when we were just worried about China. Now China's kind of the back burner, and now we're looking at this this weather market that we've got headed up right now. So never had a better time to have a plan or get something kind of in the motion right here. So if folks want to look at a plan or help them design one, how would they do that?
Yeah, best way is just give us a call, 309-550-7213. Love to chat with you. It's not getting any easier out there with the weather, but you did definitely need a plan, and you need to execute on that plan when prices are attractive. So what a difference a week makes, 50 cents on corn and probably about 60 on wheat, and you definitely need to have a plan out there.
Right on. I want to give a shout out to all the custom cutters out there rolling right now. Now it's the beginning of the run, so I'll be careful out there and have a good profitable year. And if you guys are looking for a Moving Iron Podcast first edition koozie, make sure you send me your address there on Twitter, and I will send you out one. Also check out Danny Mason's new book, Do Business Better. It's got a lot of good information in there. So Chip, take care of yourself, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right. Have a good week, Casey.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at MovingIronPodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Mellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. Please visit MovingIronLLC.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and GlobalAgNetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour, out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hard-working people working hard for you and me. Time and time again, through the years you'll find a seed.